With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
And we're back with a Brentford preview. Less than 15 hours ago. Just about 15 hours ago. I think it was the last time we spoke to some of you guys. But we are back after what was pretty much a whirlwind night last night. I think we'll all agree. And without really getting what went down last night and even the Trina loss and the sacking of Gerrard, we will look forward to the Brentford game because, as with life, football goes on and it goes on in perpetuity, and we hope in this instance that we'll go on to good effect for Aston Villa, and that even though we have removed the man at the top of the pyramid, that that Aston Villa will still be able to be prepared and put in a good performance at this weekend against Brentford. Paddy, I suppose the biggest news that's come out this morning has been that Steven Gerrard's backroom team, to a man, have been relieved of their duties as well today. And the three men that preceded Steven Gerrard prior to his introduction to the club have stayed in the form of Austin McPhee, Aaron Danks and Neil Cutler. And it seems that Aaron Danks is going to be the man that's going to be hugging the touchline, I should say, for Aston Villa at Brentford at the weekend. Talk to me a little bit about that. I know obviously we weren't going to have a new manager in the dugout at this weekend, so it was always going to be a holdover from somebody probably within the club. But talk to me a little bit about that, Paddy, because Aaron Danks is supposed to be a good coach, but you know, maybe I don't know. And it's been said a couple of times that potentially we could have had a stifling effect of too many coaches within there, and nobody was allowed shine, specifically after Michael Beale left.
Well, it appeared for the last few months that nobody was allowed to stand up other than when we had a set piece and he was joined on the touchline by Austin McPhee. Look, it's I was going to say it's a strange situation. It's not really. What's left in there are Johan Lange's men. You know, Danks, McPhee and Cutler seem to be Johan Lange's men. They were on the inside, I'm sure, reporting back to the outside and letting them know everything that's going on. It is what it is for now. We wanted him gone last night, and we wanted the search to start in earnest today. No doubt it has started. regardless of what happened today, unless somebody was going to take training, they were never going to manage the team on Sunday. They would have sat in the stand like they always do and observe and get ready for the week ahead. So we could still have that. That could be a possibility. Then again, it might not. We just don't know. We don't know how knee-jerk that reaction was last night to letting Gerrard and his team go. But yeah, no surprise that his colleagues are gone with him this morning. And yeah, strange all weekend. We get them from time to time. It's been a year since we had one. So look, we just got to hope that Aaron Danks can come in and hopefully get something out of it, because above all else, we want points on the board. We don't want to look at Monday morning slipped into the bottom three.
Absolutely. I think that's paramount for Aston Villa. And that's where we were prior to Steven Gerrard leaving. As we said, back to it again. Points need to be gotten by the 11 on the field, not by the man in the dugout. And I couldn't care less if Mr. Blobby was there. That's going to be my phrase and my catchphrase from here on in, because I genuinely mean it. Now, saying that, guys, we do have a couple of you guys are asking us who we want in. I'm going to try and do, over the course of the evening tonight, some small podcasts on Ruben Amorim and maybe one or two other guys, just maybe that are heading the market at the moment. Maybe someone like Brendan Rodgers as well might throw him in there, or somebody like somebody, because people want Premiership experience and things. I'm going to try and cater to everybody. Okay, the Premier League experience thing is kind of like one of these things that makes me go like this, because I'm just not sure. I think it might be a bit of an oxymoron from the point of view of, you know, that it doesn't really matter when you look at who has actually won the Premier League and the managers that have won the Premier League. All of them that have won the Premier League, they have managed, like, they won it with their first team that they came to the Premier League with, if that makes sense. So I think there's a lot of discussion to be had around that and whether it is actually the be-all and end-all. But let's have a discussion about the managers themselves at a later date, probably later on tonight if I can find some time, around our normal time of 9:30. We'll see if I'll be able to jump on and chat. Specifically, I want to chat about Ruben Amorim, because it's somebody that I've been talking about for a bit, and he's an exciting name that's come up. But anyway, back to this game today, Paddy. You were talking about, you know, the fact that these guys are Johan Lange's men, and they're going to be, tallied up with some Bodymore technical staff. That was one thing that was put into the press release. So it looks like it's going to be, I'm not going to say a hodgepodge, but it looks like they're going to rely on some of the academy number crunchers and stuff like that, and performance analysts and things like that for the game on Saturday. And to me, I think that's absolutely fine. But what I think these three men that are in there are doing, and you can talk about Aston McPhee, and we've given him, you know, both barrels an awful lot on this podcast, but having holdovers and having mainstays likes a big Neil Cutler and stuff like that, I think that it kind of proves its worth in situations like that, albeit it's kind of a situation whereby it's something you do, but you never really ever want to have to use it, if that makes sense. Would I be right in saying that, Paddy, or do you think that these three guys are going to be people that will most likely be shown the door once the new manager comes in?
As I said previously, I do think that these are the inside men from the top down. These are the guys that they turn to for all situations. We've discussed it many times. I don't know why Aston McPhee is there. I don't know if he is a set piece coach. I don't know if he offers something else. There's a reason why he's there. I honestly don't know what it is. The other two, absolutely, Aaron Danks, very well-respected coach. Neil Cutler, obviously one of the best goalkeeping coaches in the country. Absolutely fine having both of them there. Will they offer anything else on Sunday? They can't really. They've only got one day to work with the players. The players are back in today in recovery. They'll train tomorrow. Can't train at full pace. They might do a little bit on tactics. The tactics are not going to change between now and Sunday, because they simply don't have the time. So what we will see is the same team, from what I would imagine, with the exception of probably Matty Cash starting ahead of Bednarak. And who knows what they do further up the pitch. But I can see a very similar setup to what we're used to, unless they go absolutely gung-ho altogether and change things, which would be unusual, let's say.
I don't think they're going to change too much, and I think that that's right, because, like, when you look at Bednarek, like, Steven Gerrard rolled the dice with him last night, but he took him off at half-time.
You know, so he was willing to start him, he was willing to play him, and then he was willing to blow up his plans almost immediately as he started it. So it just showed there was no conviction. It was like, for me, it seemed like it was a bit of a Hail Mary to see what happened. Okay, we maybe try this three at the back. And once again, some of the things Steven Gerrard did on paper looked great, but he could not translate it onto the field, whether it was a communication issue, whether it was an in-game tactical change issue, which we've been very critical of. Just couldn't happen. Be interesting to see if we just set up in an awful lot less complex way at the weekend, and we just literally say, okay, guys, this is the way we're going to play. We're going to keep it tight. We're going to come here, try not to, or we're going to come to Villa Park. We're going to try not to lose. We're going to try and hit them on a break, and let's see what happens. Because Brentford are going to want to own the ball. They're going to want to get it around their back three, the likes of Pinnock and the other guys they have in the back there. You know, they've got a lot of pivots in midfield. They love to play Janlet in there in midfield. And then, obviously, they've got the goal machine in Ivan Toney, who looks like he's leapfrogged Ollie Watkins and a lot of other strikers. And I know when I say, people are going to say Ollie Watkins never had a chance to get into the Euros. I'm talking about over the last 12 months, he's leapfrogged Ollie Watkins and gotten into that England squad and would probably be on the plane to Qatar. And that kind of shows the change in trajectory for those two players. You know, one had the seat and lost it, and the other guy is now has worked and gotten the seat and doesn't look like he's going to lose it between now and he may not feature an awful lot for England, but it looks like he's going to get an experience of going to a World Cup when Ollie Watkins won't. So, like, that team in Brentford is going to be very difficult to beat. But I think that essentially, like, I wouldn't be, like, as you said there, Paddy, I wouldn't be expecting fireworks at the weekend. I would be expecting a dogged dig the trench in front of the goals and try and defend it kind of performance. And I think that's really what I'm expecting. And I think it's what we will get at the weekend.
That's exactly it. I'm expecting a performance that we saw pre-Chelsea as opposed to the Chelsea performance. There's one man who I completely overlooked when we were talking about this in the comments there. Ashley Young for assistant manager. Maybe not assistant manager, but he'll be vital on the weekend. He'll be a go-between those coaches and the players. And I think he'll be pivotal to whatever happens on Sunday.
Yeah, Ashley Young won't be... in the future, I don't think Ashley Young will be assistant manager unless he can speak Portuguese or Spanish or English. We don't know anything. We don't know anything. That's the thing I'm just throwing out there about Ruben Amorim, because his name has been mentioned earlier on. But yeah, look, look, why would he be assistant manager when he's our best left back at this moment in time? So, like,
no, well, I know he said assistant manager, but what I'm saying is he's going to be pivotal over the next few days.
Go
between everybody, himself and the leadership group within the squad. So, while I don't envisage any wholesale changes, really, part of me is glad that I'm going on Sunday. The other part of me is going, oh, what am I letting myself in for? What's it going to be like? Is it going to be damage limitation? Are we going to park the bus? I honestly, I could not tell you until 10 or 15 minutes into the game on Sunday exactly what's going to happen, unless there's something mad in the team sheet when it comes out at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm not expecting any changes, but look, the fan base in the main wanted the manager out. We've got the manager out.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm beginning to see is that there's a negativity shift beginning to switch now to the players in the field as well. And look, that may be the case, but we've got a transfer window. We can't get rid of any players, or we can't get any new players in to replace them.
And blaming the players now when you wanted the manager out is absolutely pointless.
And look, they're underperforming as well.
Oh, they're absolutely underperforming, but they're underperforming because of how they've been put out there. Bear in mind that we've a couple of new signings to come in this weekend, depending on how they get on with the new coaches. But if Matty Cash is not able to play, we might have Freddie Gilbert at right back. We might see Morgan Sanson come in for Douglas Luiz. We just don't know. So there's a lot of things that could happen, a lot of mad things that could happen. But I don't know how they're getting on with those other three coaches. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think so too. As I say, we can. I don't want to tell anybody how to fan. You can go to Villa Park and you can boo your lungs out.
Do what you like. You pay your money. You do what you like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pay your money. You do what you like. And I genuinely believe that. You know, you can do whatever you want.
Scott has just said, if we can't convince the manager sacked by PSG sacked by Spurs and out of work to take his job. What hope have we got? Well, the only thing I will say to you, Scott, is you're reading hearsay all day. Until you hear somebody say, no, I don't want the job, or the club say, we offered the job to somebody and they said they didn't want it, it's all a load of tripe. We can't be fanatical about the team and think in that mindset. At the end of the day, we've entrusted these owners to go and pick the best guy to go and lead us forward. Now, whoever that is, we get behind them. If there's a couple left behind that decided not to take the job, we'll find out about it eventually. But don't be believing the tripe you're reading today, because to me it seems like it was last night was just the final straw. I don't really think we're too far down the line with negotiations with anybody. So forget the pundits, forget the journos, forget the ITKs, and just get behind the team on Sunday. I think that's all we can do.
Why is Pochettino sacked by Spurs?
I don't care.
Yeah, he was. He was. And I can't believe that. On the 19th of November 2019, Pochettino was dismissed by Tottenham Hotspur with the side placed 14th in the Premier League, with Chairman Daniel Levy citing extremely disappointing domestic results as the reason behind the dismissal. And Poch was succeeded by Jose Mourinho.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And that went well as well, didn't it?
I didn't remember whether he was sacked or not. I didn't remember whether he left or whether he was sacked. But still, there's sackings and there's sackings. But then
I wouldn't read too much into it too. If he believed that Mourinho was going to be the next savior and Mourinho was free at that moment in time, maybe he felt that was the time to let Pochettino go. I don't know. I can't remember. And once Mourinho is involved, my eyes tend to glaze over and not give a shiny shite about what's happening. So the same would be if Mourinho was mentioned in a conversation of managing us. I would just go, I don't want to be part of this conversation because I absolutely despise the man.
For the record, I'm less hopeful than at any time I have been that Pochettino will be in the dugout. In fact, I would probably give it about a 10%. chance at this moment in time, but then again, I don't know anything. I'm just going on what I read and what I hear as well. And I know I'm talking about Ruben Amorim. I'm not fixating on any man. It's, I suppose, Ruben Amorim is just somebody that I mentioned, and I think Algy mentioned it to me that it was the 5th of November last year that I was talking about him as a potential candidate to replace Dean Smith. I just like what I've seen from him more so than anything else. But as I said, there's more than one way to skin a cat with managers.
Well, exactly, yeah. We don't know who that manager is going to be. If it is him, I'll get behind him. If it's Pochettino, I'll get behind him. If it's Brendan Rodgers, I'll get behind him. If it's Andre Villas-Boas, I'll get behind him. If it's Jose Mourinho, I will not get behind him. I'll be so pissed off that we brought another circus.
I will pay 200 quid to the Aston Villa Foundation and I'll do a just giving account or whatever, shave my head if it's Jose Mourinho.
Okay. The point I'm making is I don't want another circus, and this guy here, get Rafa Benitez, Arsenal fan for life, obviously is an Arsenal fan. We don't need another circus. We need stability now. We need a manager that we're going to bring in for the long term and let him have a good go at this, how he sees fit. because there's a lot going on. There's a lot at stake here. We fall a little bit further over the next coming weeks. It's going to be very hard to attract players in January, and that is my biggest fear.
Yeah. All right, lads. We're just going to say here, Tony Poole is going to be the next Villa manager. That'll keep some people happy, because apparently that's the way things are going. This is the thing. You know, we can get too high end managers, but it's worth discussing all these things because you never know what's going to happen until it happens. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell any. I'm categorically saying there is no fan that's wrong. If you believe Tony Pulis, Sam Allardyce, or Sean Dyche is going to be the next manager, and that's the expectation that you have of this club, that's fine. And this isn't me being patronizing or anything. That's cool. That's absolutely fine. But I don't think you're wrong. But I also don't think that anybody else is wrong to think that Pochettino, that we should be going for Pochettino, aiming for it and making a play for it. And I don't think the club are wrong to do that either. And I absolutely think they should, because ambition is born from the top down. And if you don't go for these and you just settle for mediocre middlemen, then that's the way it will always be. So I think they should take a shot in, I think if you go into any pawn shop in Ireland or in the UK, you'll see shoot for the stars. The worst thing is if you miss, you'll land in the clouds. You know, think about something like that. You know, we should shoot for the stars. And I think you should shoot for the top managers. Look, if they turn us down, what about it? You know, what about it? It doesn't mean it's not a slight on me. I couldn't care less. I don't feel embarrassed that the club tried and failed to get a top manager. I certainly don't feel embarrassed. I feel enthused the fact that they actually went and tried to have conversations with the top men and identified the top guys that were there. And look, as I say, we will end up with who we end up with. We may be happy, we may be sad, but the fixation, I'm not going to be fixated on telling anybody that they're right or wrong with regards to who they're discussing about being manager with. And I think that that's fair, because we will be linked with people. And I think it's okay to talk about who we're linked with, whether you think it's fantasy or whether you think that it's below what the club should be looking at. And that's why I mentioned people like, you know, that we have been linked to it there. Like people this morning, Michael Beale was the favourite to be manager. I personally don't think Michael Beale is going to be the manager of Aston Villa. I personally wouldn't be happy if Michael Beale was the manager of Aston Villa. We've had other people like Sean Dyche has been linked. He's the third favourite this morning when we woke up. I don't know if I would be happy with Sean Dyche. We don't have wingers for number one, so I don't know would he suit our style of play. Yes, he knows what it's like to play in the Premier League and play down at the bottom of the league and might keep us up for a year, but you know, I think there's other managers who can do that too. I don't know how I feel about Sean Dyche until I would see something more concrete. And then you've got other, like, people who talk about Thomas Tuchel. Thomas Tuchel's won a Champions League. I'm not 100% sure I would be happy with Tuchel either. Unai Emery, I think I would like him right now. I'd like to dig in to see the way his team actually plays under Villarreal and then see would he fit our system, because I don't know whether that would be the case. And as I say, it's an interesting one, and whoever we get, we will have people who will love it, we will have people who will hate it, and I think that's really just football. And that's the nice part of football. It's the exciting part of football.
I for one wouldn't be too worried about hiring a manager that doesn't fit our system.
In
inverted commas, because we're very close to a transfer window, although it seems far away. There's 6 weeks of a World Cup in between that, so that's going to change very quickly, and changing your system could mean just bringing in two players, be they on loan or be they a top dollar signing. So I'm not worried about who we bring in once he can stamp his authority and he buys into us long term, because that's what we need now.
I think above all, I think we need a man manager and a culture builder as well, as a tactician. So I think we need a kind of a full package. And look, whoever it is, we'll discuss them in their pluses and their minuses. And I've got a funny feeling we'll find out sooner rather than later, because I will be superbly critical of the brain trust if this is a long drawn process that lasts, even if it lasts into the middle of next week. I'll criticize the process. And maybe the knee-jerk action that they've had, and why wasn't this lined up beforehand? But I will also remain open-minded as to who they do pick towards the end. But at the moment, as I say, we're less than 16 hours out since
as you say, whatever they decide to do, we get behind. You know from the word go, I didn't want Gerrard. He was just too fresh as a manager for me. To be coming and cutting his teeth at our big project. It is a big project. There's a lot of money in there behind it. So now we've just got to pick the right man, get behind him and give him time to let him stamp his authority on whatever he wants to do. But Gerrard had a year, didn't stamp his authority. A year is way too long when you're talking about your Premier League survival being at stake. So for me, it was the right time to go. Hopefully, we can get a few more points on the board with the World Cup and push us a little bit clear. And then we can attract players in January. I don't even think we need too many players, but we need to attract a couple, definitely.
Just to clarify, Andy, I didn't say sacking Gerrard was knee-jerk. I said maybe sacking him and not having somebody lined up. And if it's a prolonged situation whereby we have this really unproven coaching team in Danks, McPhee and Big and Neil Cutler in there for a prolonged period of time. Even if they took us up to the World Cup, that's too long. I think that there should be a strategic sacking of Steven Gerrard. You should have at least had somebody lined up to come in or be far down the line with regards to that. So I think that's what I meant by with regards to knee-jerk there. It could be a knee-jerk reaction whereby they didn't actually plan to do it after Fulham. They planned to do it after Brentford, but they had more time to line somebody up. And now we could be left in a limbo for a couple of weeks with regards to a long, protracted situation like they have at Wolves. I certainly would be highly critical of that. That's what I mean.
I personally don't think they set out to do that last night.
Yeah.
But if you get a chance, go and have a look at Max Stokes. What's his video called? Villa on Tour, is it?
Villa on Tour, yeah. Villa on Tour.
I had a look at it this morning. The away end was toxic. It was absolutely toxic. And if I'm the owner of the club looking down on that, these are the guys that put bums on the seats. These are the guys that buy the merchandise, they buy the beer, they buy the pies on the match day, they buy their programs, they spend their money in the ground. It has to be done right. So the time had come. It may have been knee-jerk in that he didn't intend to do it last night, but I definitely think that barring winning every game between now and the World Cup, he was gone anyway.
Guys, I've seen it a couple of times in the messages. What's a Reuben sandwich? Do I sound really silly when I ask that question? Am I incredibly uncultured? Asking what a Reuben sandwich is. Like, it's not ham, cheese and tomato anyway. I bet you that's what it's not. this is top class stuff because I am. Oh yeah. Oh, wow. Now we're talking. Corned beef, Swiss cheese, sauerkraut, Thousand Island dressing, grilled between slices of rye bread. There's dinner sorted anyway, lads. Dinner sorted. Yeah, I'm gonna have to have a look at that. Would you take a Reuben sandwich over a puck of pie? That's the question. I don't know. That's a podcast in itself. We're a culinary podcast at Villa Park. But guys, look, we're here 24 minutes. We've rambled. I said at the very start, we weren't going to talk about managers and we spent 14 minutes or so talking about managers. I'm going to try and come back on later on tonight and do something on Ruben Amorim, just because, as I say, not because I'm fixating, just because he's somebody that is so new. He's got an unbelievable backstory from the point of view of, like, we talk about inexperience and taking a chance on somebody without any experience and hitting gold. But Sporting Lisbon can absolutely say that happened when they were right down on their knees as a club at that period of time. And he's brought them lots of success since then. So I'm going to try and come on and do a piece on that because I won't be around tomorrow. And God knows they will announce somebody tomorrow when I'm not around. But we're going to leave it at that, guys. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining. And thanks for all your comments. You know, it's not an easy time to be an Aston Villa fan at the moment. But hopefully there will be an injection of optimism, whoever we bring in. We're going to talk about everybody who are linked to it. We're going to be critical of people if we need to be critical of them. But we're also going to try and see the bright side of stuff as well, if there is a bright side. So we will be back as much as we can during this managerial search, but I do really appreciate everyone jumping on, and I really appreciate everybody jumping on last night. We had, you know, it was an absolute bevy of people on last night, which is absolutely fantastic. So thanks a million, everybody. We're going to leave it at that. We will be back with the Team Sheet Tantrum on Sunday. So in the meantime, stay safe, stay healthy, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.